decide where AI genuinely adds value and prioritize then the right use cases and define guardrails where required.
Hello and a warm welcome to a new edition of the Lernkurve, the podcast for all fans of corporate learning and communication. We want to keep you up to date on what's going on in the world of digital corporate learning and communication. My name is Dirk Schwendt. Today we will have a look at AI and agentic AI in learning. What are the drivers? What is the potential? And I have a wonderful guest today to help us answer these questions. It's Sarah O'Flynn, manager at our Accenture Zurich office, and Sarah is at the forefront of agentic AI and learning and has been supporting several clients in that area lately. Welcome, Sarah. Great that you have the time to get here.
Thank you, Dirk. Pleasure being with you today.
So let's directly dive into it, Sarah. AI, agentic AI are, of course, affecting everything, but also affecting corporate learning. So from your perspective, how does this evolution look like from your perspective in the learning world?
Yeah, great question. I definitely see AI and agentic AI affecting our corporate learning significantly. As these technologies are being introduced at scale across our clients, we're seeing responses coming back that may be a little bit mixed. Some are quite excited about what's possible, and others are uncertain with some anxiety. Mm-hmm. We've leaders asking, are our people ready? And we've employees asking, is this replacing me? Am I allowed to use this? What if I do something wrong? So yes, demand for AI learning is surging, but what's really changing isn't just the volume of training, but also the emotional context. So when we're looking at introducing AI learning, we're not just teaching the tools, we're also building confidence, clarity, psychological safety, while work itself is really being redefined across these organizations. So I suppose when we look at learning, we have to address a few things when we're implementing these tools. So we need to look at the skill set and capability. So how do we use these AI tools effectively? Mm-hmm. We need to look at the guardrails of how do we use this responsibly? And then also look at the confidence. So how can we ensure that the learner can experiment without fear? So, you know, maybe we have a sandbox environment where they can play. And this is where the learning model is starting to shift. It's no longer looking at training, then deploy. It's really continuous enablement. So bringing in nudges, bringing in human-in-the-loop controls, visible governance. So AI adoption is much more around behavioral and cultural than just so the tools themselves.
And the learning department themselves, what do you think? How will they change? How will their operating model change? I guess they also have to kind of adapt, reorganize to that new era we're seeing here, right?
Definitely. Yeah. So learning really used to operate like a service function. The business would announce, there's a system launch, there's a leadership initiative, and the learning organization would respond with programs, courses, annual plans. Yeah. But this model of delivery-driven, it's very reactive. And now we're seeing that these organizations are looking for more of a proactive response. So yes, with these technology cycles being shorter, with roles evolving, AI is really reshaping the work of learning. And they can't just wait for requests. They have to really anticipate what the business is heading towards and building capability ahead of demand. So we're definitely seeing learning moving more so upstream into strategy. So the question they're receiving is no longer what training is needed, but what capabilities will make this strategy executable. So learning mm-hmm. leaders are now part of the transformation discussions themselves. And then also learning integrates with workforce planning. So like I suppose as mentioned, organizations are modeling how roles will evolve. So what gets automated, what gets augmented, and what new skills are really required within that organization for the next 12, 24, 30, 46 months. And so learning becomes really a core lever in managing talent risk, not just looking at the skills themselves. And then also what I'm seeing, especially in the last few months, is the adoption metrics evolving. So organizations are saying completion rates and learning hours is not really a sufficient metric. So the focus is shifting more towards time to performance, role readiness, capability maturity. So as a result, the operating model is shifting and it's moving from that content production to more capability architecture. So more a strategic enabler, I would say.
So overall, you're saying, if I understand it correctly, it's more integrated, maybe also a more integrated part of the HR organization itself. It's probably less, there's just a learning function providing learning, but it's getting more integrated with all the other functions, and there's a kind of reinvention process going on, right? Overall in the HR area, also affecting the learning space then.
Exactly. Very much moving from reactive to proactive.
And what are typical elements of this process, of this moving from reactive to proactive, or elements of reinvention here?
Yes. So we are seeing leading organizations that are not just adding AI to their existing HR learning processes. They're really redesigning their function end to end. So I suppose on a current program that I'm working through with the learning function, we're discussing, if we actually take a step back, how can we look at building this learning function, this learning experience today with AI and agentic available? And what would that look like? So I suppose just to kind of walk you through what that approach looks like.
Great.
Yeah, so we started with looking at our discovery activities. So what are the current pain points? What are the current challenges across their processes? And then we moved on to a leadership learning reinvention workshop. And here we looked at reimagining the entire learning lifecycle, very much from learning demand intake through design, delivery, and into that impact measurement. And here we identified where AI could potentially remove friction, automate some of those complexities that currently are in place, and improve responsiveness. And then where human expertise, judgment, and governance needs to remain in place, because of course we need to have human in the loop or human in the lead at certain points within those process flows. And the aim really within these reinventions is to align on what the future vision looks like, decide where AI genuinely adds value, and prioritize then the right use cases and define guardrails where required. And then once we've completed this reinvention workshop, we then look to move into detailed design and execution planning. And I suppose from this, one of the most tangible outputs that we've received is that of a learner companion. So this would be a persistent conversational interface that's embedded throughout the flow of work. And ultimately, I suppose we're looking at redefining how learning creates enterprise value for this organization. So not just how it delivers training.
So is it like, imagine to be like a buddy through my whole learning journey, a buddy I have a conversation with, I can ask anything if needed, but if not needed, I don't get any input, or how is this to be imagined?
Yes, exactly. So this buddy would be embedded within the enterprise systems. So it would show up throughout your flow of work, across all the different tools and systems you're using throughout the day, the different intranets to support you. It will look to understand where you're having issues, and it can actually provide prompts and nudges throughout the course of the day to support you with your work.
So similarly, like we have it in the world of system enablement, we have these digital adoption platforms, which are already now follow a similar approach. But what you're describing is even has a greater reach in terms of the process. It probably starts even earlier than and goes even beyond that.
Exactly that. Support, yeah? Yeah, because we do see in the market, there's a lot of great tools, platforms like WalkMe, for example, and they embed that guidance within the enterprise systems. A tool like this Buddy, it has those components, but it also adds a chat component, a coach component, and role play as well throughout. So it's quite a complicated product, but quite interesting. And we're working through that at the moment at that organization. So maybe I can report back in a few months' time on how it progresses.
Yeah, would be cool. And with this development also, I think we also even have to look at the words. Is it still learning? Is it still training? Probably it doesn't fit anymore because this kind of implies I learned something before I apply. And then I apply it. And what you're describing is, okay, I get the information I need in the moment of need. So there is no, it's rather an enablement, a support than learning or training, right?
Exactly. It's the way learning is going. It's becoming more ambient surrounding work itself. So yeah, exactly that. You don't go to learning as often. Learning just shows up in the flow of work, in the tools that you're using.
Speaking of tools, so if we're moving further down down to the operational hands-on level of learning, being in the era of AI and agentic AI, do you already have a feeling which tools are being leveraged, which are proved to be very good? I know we do not want to advertise anything here, but maybe you got an overall impression of which type of tools and platforms, as my impression is there's a tool and new tools and new platforms coming up every week. So it's a landscape. It gets more and more complex. Yeah. Do you have already an impression on the maturity level and what works well and what not?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of great tools in the market with a lot of transformation happening. Particularly, I would say within content production, within performance enablement and capability measurement or skill measurement. On the production side, tools like Articulate AI are fantastic. They have features that can help instructional designers move faster, draft scripts, generate quizzes, restructure content. And this reduces the time spent on first drafts and allowing the learning specialist to really focus on the experience and the outcomes. And then there's tools as well around video and audio like Synthesia and also 11 Labs that make multimedia easier to update, to localize, and also to translate. With a click of a switch, you're able to translate. It's fantastic. And really moving away from the traditional production cycles that can be quite slow. And where we see a lot of organizations previously requiring a lot of external agencies for support, they can now use these licenses internally. But there's also, some great advances in skill diagnostics. So there's platforms like Workera. This uses AI-driven assessments to benchmark real skill proficiency. So learners demonstrate within this skill diagnostic their capability through applied tasks, so such as writing code. And what's powerful here is it moves from I took a skill assessment to I demonstrated the skill. So it really allows for a true benchmark on proficiency. And then there's agent-supported learning environments like Udacity's Nano Degrees, where learners can interact with AI agents and they provide them with feedback on code, on assessments, and they can simulate some real-world problems as well. So it kind of gets closer to that personalized tutor model, or like our AI buddy that we spoke of earlier. But there's so many tools on the market. There's Epiphany AI, which is cool. Cornerstone has a lot of great stuff. Google Note, Notebook as well, Creatium. There's so many out there. But I suppose the important caveat is tools don't transform learning on their own. So you can plug in AI into a traditional program-based model, and you can build courses faster. But really, if you plug in the capability model into a capability ecosystem model, you can really transform the performance. So technology is amplified by having, I suppose, an operating model that allows for that true transformation.
Yeah, looking at, and you mentioned it, the content development process, and you mentioned that companies might not need external support on that as they need now. But let's think a little bit about that. On the one hand, I think they might do content development by themselves as they have the AI tools. And the question is, and I do not have an answer yet, is it, will they be satisfied with what they get from the AI? Or is the role of the classical content developer kind of further developed and the contribution might be a different one, like creating even more creative learning formats, which AI alone would not be able to create or something? So that's a question. Will the content developer be kind of replaced, or will there be an enhancement in the product by combining human and AI, by doing so enabling a even more sophisticated product? So I would think both is possible, but both are possible ways. But that's just my thinking. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think these tools are fantastic and they're developing more and more each day, but the role of the content developer, I believe, will still stay. They bring a lot of wealth to the learning itself, and they can continue to enhance the learning experience and leverage some of these agents like Articulate AI as almost a co-pilot for their learning design. And I suppose that's how I've experienced some of these tools, like Articulate AI. You can see the output, and with that, you can see maybe there's improvements that could be made on the experience, on the scenarios that it comes through with. And so as a learning designer, you would work with Articulate AI in improving that experience. So I think it definitely... there's definitely still a requirement for a content developer. And I think this just speeds up the work and it allows them to work maybe more in a strategic lens with more time to really focus on the learner, on where they wish the learning model to move to.
So instructional designers, content developers also have to pivot. They have to further develop their skill set and their overall scope. That's a statement also, yes. I'm hearing here from you. Definitely the standard content developer probably will not have a big future here, to use a little bit of a harder wording here. Yeah. All right. So finally, let's take a look into the future. Now it's all very fast moving AI, agentic AI, but from your perspective, from your guessing, where do you see corporate learning, AI-powered corporate learning, in something like 3 to 5 years' time?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And things are moving so fast. I think, as we spoke of earlier, I definitely see a shift of learning showing up in the flow of work.
Yeah.
So moving from going to learning to actually having it within the tools that you're working through. I think, as well as mentioned, the role of learning becomes more strategic and more evidence-based. So within learning, they'll be looking for stronger signals of adoption with clearer impact of, say, application, reflection, completion. I think as well, the learning function itself will become more like a product or an ecosystem team. So less content factory and more so around the orchestration. So I suppose looking at managing these such tools, like we spoke of there with, say, the likes of the Articulate AI, managing these tools, working with these agents, designing human and agent experiences, and yeah, shifting very much so from content to very much looking at what are the skills and capabilities that the organizations are looking to derive through their new strategies, for example.
I very much like the orchestration view. I think this is a very good fit in view. Yeah, Sarah, thank you very much for being our guest today. It was very insightful, as always, when talking to you. Thank you very much. And yeah, maybe, as you said, we speak in a year or 2 years' time and let's look back on the current developments. I hope so. Thank you very much again.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dirk.